Blog Talk Radio.
This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, Wednesday, July the 18th, where we're having a heat advisory, which is a nice way of saying that it's very, very hot. So today we're going to be chatting with our friend George Rodriguez. I'm guessing that it's pretty hot down in San Antonio as well. I'm just guessing that. It's, I think, a pretty well-educated guess on my part. We're going to be talking about Texas politics. No heat advisory yet for Texas politics so far. We're in that maybe, I don't know, right before the start of the season or something, where not a lot is going on. There are some news, and we'll touch on them. For example, a brand new poll that came out that has Governor Abbott roughly 11 points ahead of Ms. Valdez. And then on the Senate race, Senator Cruz, either 9 or 10 points ahead of Mr. O'Rourke. So that's kind of where we are right now. I don't think those numbers are surprising to me. That's pretty much what I expected. I predicted that Cruz would win by 10 and that Abbott would win by 15, and I think I'm pretty close in my prediction. We're also going to talk about the resistance. And is the resistance actually helping President Trump? I think it is. I think that the responses are so irrational. These people are just coming undone. That was a great song by the Guess Who, Undone. But anyway, these people are just coming undone, and I think it's helping President Trump. Let me say hello to our friend down in San Antonio, our friend George Rodriguez. George, heat advisory or no?
Oh, gosh, yes. even the cactus want to come in.
yes. What is it down there? Here it's like 100. Well, last time I checked, it was over 100. Let me tell me what it's down there.
It's 101 with the humidity, with high humidity. So I would imagine the heat index is something like 104 or something like that.
Yeah, 104 right here. Just 104 period. I mean, that's pretty warm anyway. So no heat index, just 104. I think it's going to be that way all week.
Yeah, all week. I would say all summer.
Yeah, I think so. I think summer. Good chance that we'll see this again later in the summer. Just a couple of quick notes from on this day in history. You may remember this, George. 1969 today, Chappaquiddick, Senator Ted Kennedy, was involved in that terrible tragedy that ended up with the death of, or the drowning, actually, to be more specific, of Mary Jo Kopechne. Really an event that I think undid pretty much his career. He was never a serious presidential candidate after that. He was able to remain in the Senate because of the family, you know, the family power up in Massachusetts, but he was done as far as presidential politics. You know, he tried it in 1980 and he just couldn't do it, George.
Yeah. I don't know if you had a chance to, I read the book and I also, saw the movie, that was put together.
The one that just came out?
Yes. Which is really, really, it was put together by somebody from the UK, which, in my opinion, probably gave it a little bit more wiggle room so that they could be honest. And the movie is very, very, very straightforward, you know, and it's very, very sad. I mean, you know, the fact of the matter is here was a guy who was born into wealth. I mean, he was the last one born, and he was born into great wealth and privilege. And apparently, I mean, that kind of was the attitude that he had, a very cavalier attitude in having things taken care of when something went wrong. And when something went really, really wrong with this, he just had a meltdown. I mean, he just didn't know what to do, and it was right. downhill from there. Quite
and that's
tragic,
why you remember the interview that he did with Roger Mudd of CBS in 1980 when he was challenging President Carter in the primaries. That was really the only time that he ran, and mm-hmm. he was challenging President Carter in the primaries. And Roger Mudd did an interview with him, and that I mean he just couldn't answer. I mean, how are you gonna? I mean, how, what are you gonna say?
What can you say? Yeah,
I
especially
mean,
when you left, when everyone knows that you left.
Exactly. I mean, you hide for 10 or 12 hours. I mean, if he had tried to go in and stuck around and waited for the police and all that, probably wouldn't have been that bad. I mean, it doesn't justify the drowning, but it certainly wouldn't. But, I mean, for him to take off like that, it's just absolutely horrific. So that and, you know, the interesting thing about that event, Chappaquiddick, is that it coincided with the lunar mission. Apollo 11 was on its way to the moon right now. It got there in a couple of days, and it took off on the 16th, so they were, like, on their way to the moon. So everybody was kind of tuned in to Apollo 11 when that story broke, George.
Yeah, and, you know, and that was another thing, because some of his advisors really, really tried hard to get him to come forward and say the right thing. With using that as kind of like the cover and background
mm-hmm.
so that it would be
sure.
forgotten quickly. But he didn't do that. He waited and he waited.
Mm-hmm.
And then he made things worse by, trying to go on the offensive and going on TV. And that was.
No, it
I
was
don't know.
Just
I,
the whole
you know,
thing was how.
It was just undone.
I think, as I say, you know, you have a young woman who died. And that, of course, complicates the tragedy. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, it was just – it was about as – it was a textbook case of how, how not to do damage control. I guess I'll put it that way.
Right.
Everything that could have been done wrong was done wrong by him. But let's talk a little bit about Texas politics, George. I mentioned that we're sort of in the preseason still. I mean, there's not a lot of information. Some things are going on, but a lot of it on sort of on the second or third page. Nothing seems to be happening. I talked about a poll that I saw that had Abbott. It seemed like comfortably ahead, and Cruz not too bad, about 10 points, and that's about what I expect them to win by. Anything down there that you're hearing, George, about the campaign?
Well, you know, the thing that has been very, very striking
mm-hmm.
is the number of Democrats from New York and from Wisconsin and from Ohio, the number of Democrats, even the mayor of New York was down here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they have made a big deal out of, you know, the children that were separated from their families, as well as the enforcement efforts by the Border Patrol. However, the Texas congressman from the border, you haven't heard a peep from. You have not heard one peep. In fact, the only comment that has come out this past week from Henry Cuellar, the congressman from Laredo, was a strong suggestion that Mexico play the role of the third country to hold people until their asylum is investigated, until it is justified. And that's the same role right now that Canada plays. Canada holds people who are applying for asylum into the United States. Mexico does not. And so, that's the only peep out of any of the Democrats down here in the valley, down here in South Texas, that has been heard. I think that they are really, truly trying to be very, very low key on this whole issue, and that includes Lupe Valdez. She hasn't really been down here for a lot of press, if any. I don't think I've seen her in any press. I know that Beto O'Rourke has been down here and made some comments, of course, but nothing. Of the firebrand, like get rid of ICE or anything
mm-hmm.
of the nature.
Right.
So it's been very, very interesting how they're playing their campaign.
Well, I would think that this whole issue plays a lot. I mean, if you represent a district in New York and or the city of New York, like the mayor, it plays a lot different there than it does in your backyard, which is, I mean, your school districts are the ones down in South Texas. They're the ones who are going to have to deal with these kids, your hospitals, your infrastructure. So it's more theoretical than when you go up north. But when you're closer to the border, this is more reality in terms of what it will cost and so on. So maybe that's an explanation. I mean, I don't know, but that's what it appears to me, George.
Yeah. It's very, very evident. It's very, very evident that, the comments that Democrats can make, the passionate, mm-hmm. emotional comments that they can make in other states, they certainly mm-hmm. cannot make in South Texas because, I mean, we've been around illegal immigration for so long. The other mm-hmm. thing that has happened recently down here that, you know, has kept a lot of folks quiet is the number of cartel arrests, cartel-related arrests mm-hmm. that have gone on regarding vans that have tried to outrun the Border Patrol and the Texas Department of Public Safety, the Highway Patrol. Mm. And there have been a lot of them that have caused wrecks. Most recently, about a couple of weeks ago, there were something like six people killed in one rollover and one van that was carrying something like 20 people. And so that, you know, that has provoked a lot of anger and frustration from local folks. The game that Democrats are playing with immigration and with law enforcement in general in other states, the guys here, the Democrats here in Texas, are being very, very careful on how to do it.
Right. Well, you have a situation right now, for example, where many Democrats wanted to abolish ICE. So Speaker
right.
Ryan said, okay, well, let's put it up for a vote. No, we didn't mean that that way. No,
right.
We didn't mean that. We didn't mean actually vote. We just wanted to give a speech. And I just think that, you know, that's kind of the situation where, you know, it's a great topic for them in some places, not in every place. But it's a great
yep.
talking point for them, especially when they're raising money. But it's not a good talking point in South Texas, like you're saying, where, you know, you're the guys basically dealing with, I mean, you're the guys dealing with, I mean, like, it's like in a hurricane. You're the guys living in the hurricane. You're the guys dealing with the losses and the damage. The rest of the country is just looking at it, but it's not the same thing. I mean, if you live in South
exactly.
Texas, like you say, this is a real problem. To me, I mean, George, I mean, we were talking about the heat before, and to me, right now, it's almost inhumane that, or almost incredible, not inhumane, but, well, it is inhumane on the part of the smugglers to bring them this time of the year. But it's almost like, in this kind of heat, how can anybody survive walking through the north of Mexico into Texas? I mean, in this kind of heat, I don't know how, unless they walk at night, and it's not necessarily cooler at night, and perhaps
that's
more
right.
dangerous at night, because,
well, yeah,
you know, you cannot...
Right.
Yeah, that's right, and you don't see your way as well. But, I mean, it's almost
–
that to me has always been kind of the untold story of immigration, you know, the what these people go through to come up here. And, you know, it's incredible. That's why I've always felt that you have to enforce the border, because that discourages people from taking those trips. But what about regarding the Lupe Valdez campaign? I mean, I saw there was an article up here where she was like with a motorcycle, I guess, pretending to be, you know, remember Ann Richards had the same thing when she ran in 1990.
Correct.
Had a big picture with a motorcycle. But I don't know, it worked a lot better for Ann Richards than it does for Lupe Valdez. I mean, I just don't see the you know, it may have been an advantage for Ann Richards in 1990, but I don't see it as an advantage for Lupe Valdez in 2018. I mean, with all due respect to Lupe, she looked awfully silly in the motorcycle. I mean, she didn't look real good, George.
No, it's been very, very quiet. I know that last week the Lupe Valdez campaign announced that they were getting a new campaign manager. because you know, there had been some infighting apparently between, where, you know, and I mean, which is typical of all campaigns. You know, I have never been around a campaign that there isn't any political infighting. But they got rid of the campaign manager, claiming that you know, they weren't doing enough. Well, you know, I've got to say that's probably true, because I haven't seen enough, and so we'll have to see if there's any change now. But it is a you know, I mean, it, the campaign just doesn't seem to be getting any traction. And you're right, you know, this a good example is that picture that was, you know, that you're talking about regarding her on a motorcycle. I'm not sure, you know, who came up with that idea, but I don't think it was just the best idea.
No, it wasn't. And there's an article in the Dallas Morning News today. This is from Robert Garrett and Gromer Jeffers, I guess a couple of their staff writers. And they're talking about the cash on hand. And I'll just read to you very quickly. Lupe Valdez has about $29 million in the bank. Mr. Abbott, Governor Abbott, has the other way around. I'm confusing the numbers. I'll just say, rather than read the article, I'll just say that he has a lot more cash than she does. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah.
I mean, substantially more. I mean, you're talking about tons of money more, which, of course, is difficult. I suppose you have to rely then on a lot of volunteers. But judging by the runoff election results, I don't think there was a lot of excitement among Democrats for her, George.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and I think that, you know, if you want to talk about the polls that just came out, that's another issue. I mean, let's face it. The polls have been notoriously inaccurate lately.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you've got a poll that's beginning to reflect almost a double-digit difference between the two campaigns, whether it's Beto's and Ted's or Lupe's and the governor's, I would really, really be in panic mode if I was a Democrat. I would really, really be in panic mode, because I mean, if even the polls are beginning to reflect that kind of, I would venture to say that, you know, maybe even double what the poll is saying is what the reality is going to be like.
No, I think you're right. Actually, I have the same thoughts. I mean, I think that when you look at these polls, my guess is these are more suburban, urban polls. I think it's probably a lot more difficult to take a poll in rural Texas. So my guess is that you know, that's where she's going to be destroyed, in rural Texas.
Yeah.
And I think these polls are understating the rural vote.
That's right. That's right. I mean, I know that I can't remember which community it was. One little community nearby here in San Antonio, a small little podunk town that somebody definitely from New York or California would consider it a podunk town. They had a rally for Ted Cruz, and, you know, I mean, it was standing room only. It was almost 1,000 folks showed up. And, you know, that's the rural poll. Now, I know for a fact that Lupe has definitely not been making the rounds in those smaller communities. I mean, she's confined herself to the urban areas, to the high blue areas. And, you know, she has gone down to, I mean, if you want to you want to talk about the most rural she's gotten, is like down in Brownsville and Harlingen, you know, where you've got the politiqueras that will pay you to show up to vote and to attend an event.
Right.
So, you know, it is, it's not, I don't know, it is not looking very, very good. And you've got to ask yourself, okay, what do they plan to do? What is the message, and what do they plan to do?
Well, the other reason, too, I think that you have to be skeptical with these polls, because if you just look at the numbers, the real numbers, the people who voted in primaries, if you look at the actual people who went to vote, not the polls, in the first primary, when the governor and Senator Cruz and Beto made it out on the first round, Cruz got like twice as many votes as all of the Democrats who voted. And
in a primary.
Abbott, yeah, in the primary. So if only the people who show up, I mean, if the only voters in November are the people who showed up in the primaries, I mean, Abbott is going to win by 3-1. I mean, because, again, those are the real numbers. I'm not talking about polls. And if you look at the actual vote that they had the runoff, there were only 419,000 Democrats, George, who voted. So you just look at those numbers and you say, well, this poll has him ahead by 11. I tend to think it's probably closer to 15. Just the gut feeling, when you look at the real numbers, it seems to me the real numbers are a lot better than 11 points for the governor. Now, Cruz may be a little closer, maybe 10, because he's got a lot of cash and he's got some excitement that Lupus Valdez doesn't have. But I still I don't see how he can be within 10. I think it's double digits for both, 10 for Cruz, 15 for Abbott. And I stand by that prediction, George.
Well, and another aspect to this issue of the runoffs, or the elections rather, is the type of Democrat that in some cases is running. We have a Democrat named Joseph Kopser, who is running in the 21st congressional district against Chip Roy, the Republican. Mm-hmm. And Kopser, the thing that he is promoting out front very publicly is that he is a 20-year Army veteran and a private entrepreneur. He also proclaims that he is a family man, that he is the father of three daughters, you know. Now, how well that would play in New York or California, I am not sure, but this is the public face that they put. Now, when you look at his website and you begin to analyze his political positions, they're clearly all Democrat. He's pro abortion on demand.
Sure.
He wants to put heavy restrictions on gun ownership. He wants to, those things begin to surface. But once again, he's being very, very quiet about those things in many ways, but, very, very public about his conservative credentials in others. And you're right. I mean, in the primary, he garnered 14,700 votes in the primary. While Chip Roy garnered 25,000 in the primary. So I mean, the thing is that we've got to be careful. What we don't want to do is allow Republicans to fall asleep at the wheel on these things.
No. I'm with you. That's why that's why I agree with you on that. That's why you always have to run like you're run down. You always have to play like you're behind, because that makes you more aggressive and you don't take anything for granted. And I'm pretty sure that that's the message that Cruz and the governor are sending out to their people. George, let me take a little break, and then when I come back, let's take a few minutes and talk about the resistance and everything
laughing.
That they're doing.
Let's do it without
laughing.
Yeah,
I know. That's right. Be right back with our friend George. Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, Wednesday, July 18th. We're chatting with our good friend George Rodriguez down in San Antonio. We were talking about Texas. Let's go a little national now, George, and look at the resistance I don't know. I think they're overplaying their card. Again, getting back to your last point, we don't want to assume anything, because assuming is what always gets you in trouble. But I don't understand. I mean, if you look at this irrational response to what the president said, and the president made a mistake, he corrected it, and that should be the end of it. But these people, the kind of stuff that I've seen in social media, like people saying that Trump is crazy, and he is out of his mind, and, you know, we even forming a shadow government. I mean, this stuff is nuts. This stuff is crazy, George. I don't see how this is helping them. I mean,
you're
I
right.
hope I'm not, not. I mean, I don't know how. If we were doing stuff like this, you know, I'd be the first one to say, hey, hold it down. You know, let's just hold it down. Let's not be crazy about this.
Well, you know, again, it would, if you listen to blog talk radio and if you listen to internet radio programming, you've got a lot of folks who are finally having an opportunity to speak their mind, and you hear some real outrageous and outlandish things being said on these radio programs, on these internet radio programs nowadays. However, when you've got a congressman like Congressman Cohen from New York making the straight out comment that he suggested that there be a military coup, that the military veterans rise up and take over the government. When he makes that kind of a comment in, you know, right outside the Capitol Hall, the Capitol halls, you know, you've got to say, what the heck is going on? You know, you've got that. You've got others making the comment that President Trump should be tried for treason. I mean, that was straight out of Schumer's mouth.
John Brennan.
It just is amazing. I mean, how can you be serious? How can you be serious to make those kind of outrageous comments, calling for a coup, calling the president treasonous, and wake up the next morning and have a straight face and expect somebody to take you serious?
Well,
I mean,
how can you do that? Exactly, and also coming from the same people who had apparently no problem whatsoever when the Obama administration did nothing about, I mean, this Russia threat that it was supposed to be, look, I don't like Russia, and I'm sure Russia tried to do something. I'm not a dreamer when it comes to Putin or Russia. I mean, they are communist and they are who they are, and you got to be realistic about them. But if this was such a bad threat, where was President Obama during where in the world was he? If Russia was such a big threat, why were they mocking Mitt Romney in 2012?
Exactly.
When Mitt Romney said
exactly.
it. So there's just a lot of things here that these people are just so opportunistic.
They forget that these things are recorded. You know, this is what's amazing to me. One thing is for me to be, you know, away from a microphone, away just the two of us talking and making silly comments. Another thing is to go before the microphones and make those comments.
That's right.
You know, for posterity. Don't they recognize and realize that there was a microphone there to hear Obama tell the Russian representative, as soon as I get elected, I'll have more flexibility to deal with
sure.
people, make sure you talk. I mean, don't they remember that?
Yeah, I mean, that was such a, I mean, if nothing that Trump has done come close to that.
Exactly.
I mean, that was such an obvious case of, if nothing else, that was just crazy on the part of President Obama. But
exactly.
Talk about
backdoor diplomacy.
That's it. And it's like I look at the way they're behaving. I look at their craziness, and I just ask myself, these people are losing it. I mean, don't they understand how silly they come across? I mean, look, you can disagree with President Trump. I mean, that's a free country, and that's what it's about. But
yeah, exactly.
when they get silly like that, I think they're hurting their cause. And now you have a situation, this young woman who was elected in New York,
who doesn't have
a clue about anything. I mean, this young woman doesn't know anything.
Oh, my gosh. First,
I mean, she made
they
a total
fawned over her. Oh, man. You know, they
yeah.
first fawned over her when she won the primary.
Mm-hmm.
And they certainly are laying the groundwork that she is probably going to get elected because she's in
mm-hmm.
such a liberal Democrat. But the comments, I mean, this latest comment about that capitalism has not been around forever and it won't be around forever. I mean,
right.
you just have to roll your eyes. Who would say something like that? Che Guevara?
Right,
other,
no, exactly. Even Che Guevara wouldn't be that. Even Che Guevara was not that stupid, you know.
Yeah, the other thing is, you know, her comment about Israel. And then backing down on it, this young lady is supposed to be an international relations and economics master's degree graduate from Boston College. And the only thing I can think of is we are in trouble.
That's it. And she's really now there is Joe Lieberman, former Senator Lieberman, wrote a column in the Wall Street Journal encouraging people to vote for the Democrat Mr. Crowley, who apparently is running in another ticket.
Mm-hmm.
You never know. There may be enough people that there may be enough people that take
enough
votes
adults.
From her. Yeah,
adults.
There may be enough people, and who never, even the Republican could win in a situation like that, because let's say the two Democrats split, I don't know, 55% of the vote, 60% of the vote, the Republican could easily get in, even though, you know, he had no chance of winning before. Well, George, as always, I want to thank you for your time. Stay out of that heat, and we'll talk again soon about what's happening in Texas. 104 here in Dallas, Texas, so...
Yeah, it's 101 right now with a nice warm breeze. Let's call it that.
Yeah. Well, you know we're in trouble when you add up the temperature of Dallas and San Antonio and it's 200 plus. You know we're in trouble.
Have a good one, Linda. We also need to commiserate sometime soon about the American League versus the National League. That was interesting last night, too.
That was a good game, yeah. I caught a good portion of it. That was a pretty good game, actually. And, all right, well, we'll talk later, my friend. Thank you for
your
time.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, thank you so much. George Rodriguez in South Texas. Always enjoy chatting with George. He's very active politically down there and writes a great deal and has a good, has his, as they like to say, the ears in the ground there of what's happening in South Texas, so we always like to check with him as we do our political review of what's happening in Texas. Of course, it's going to get more interesting. I mean, we're really pretty much in the off-season right now as far as the election. It probably by Labor Day, this thing is really going to get very exciting, and there'll be a lot more things going on. Have a wonderful day, everybody. 104 in Dallas. What can I tell you? If you come to Dallas, make sure you bring a swimsuit. That's all I can say. Make sure you bring a swimsuit. Talk to you later. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.